recording. Okay, so you know, I forgot to mention. I should have mentioned a few days ago that that on the daf for Shabbos, which we gave on Sunday morning, was sponsored by Shani Rudzinski in memory of her father Shlomo ben Yitzchak. So learning was Leilu Nishmato. I just want to mention it for Shlomo ben Yitzchak, Zichrono Livracha. All right. All right, so today we're on Daf Tzadi Hey. We just want to go up some other things that we did last night. So one thing that came up last night was cutting hair and cutting nails. So the Mechaber says in Siman Shin Mem, Asur li tol saro tziporna bein biyad bein bekli. A person's not allowed to remove his hair or his nails, whether he removes it with his hands. In other words, and we discussed how to do that. You know, you're plucking the hair out of the head, or you're grabbing on the nail with the two nails. He says, "Bein la'atzmo bein lachem," whether it's yourself or other people, "v'chayav al shtei sa'arot." You're chayav min haTorah for removing two hairs. So it comes out from the poskim that if you do it with a kli, you are chayav d'oraisa lev. You're chayav min haTorah. If you do it with the fingers, you're only over on a d'rabanan level. And he says, if you take one hair out, then, and it's on a deraisa level, let's say instead of cutting two hairs, I cut one hair, so then it's an Easter deraisa. In other words, it's prohibited min haTorah. It's chatzi shir, Asher min haTorah is the way we paskin. All right, now, he quotes here, this is from the Shabbos home, which I've shown you before. It's by Rabbi Simcha Bunim Cohn, and he's very good. He says it's biblically forbidden. It's forbidden biblically to cut even a single hair with any part of a human body or an animal's hide. So that's what we said. One hair, Easter Doraisa. Prohibition regardless of whether one cuts its root or merely shortens. Is this forbidden on Shabbos to take a haircut, trim a beard or mustache, shave legs or arms? He goes through a whole bunch. Pluck out unwanted facial hair, tweeze eyebrows, pluck hair from nostrils, apply depilatory agent to any hairy part of the body. All right. And then in terms of cutting nails, he says, as mentioned previously, cutting nails with scissors or a nail clipper falls under the biblical prohibition of shearing, whereas biting or tearing off nails is prohibited rabbinically. The rabbis granted one dispensation for the prohibition of biting or tearing off nails if a nail becomes detached more than halfway and it is painful when it's permitted to bite or tear it off. Since the nail was already mostly detached, source of pain, the rabbis did not prohibit removing it in an unusual fashion. And then I should mention, the Mishnah Berurah mentions that, let's say he says, you have a woman who she has tefillah on Friday night, and she forgot to cut her nails before Shabbat. So the Magen Avraham says that the woman should tell a non-Jew that he, the non-Jew, should use his hands or her hands to remove the nails. He says it's shvut the shvut b'makom mitzvah. In other words, amir la'akum is derabanan. Cutting the nails with one's hand is derabanan. So I have two derabanans. So you have this common application. So you have shvut the shvut b'makom mitzvah, a derabanan on a derabanan in a place of a mitzvah, because leil tefillah is considered a mitzvah. V'me'iyav shar biyad, and if he can't remove it with his hand, mutar yado ofila b'kli. Then even if the goy does it with a kli, you go forward with that. If they can't do it with the hand, if there's no goy around to remove the nail, Shmuru says nir shesh smoke b'shad of the chak. Then in an emergency situation, Shmuru says ala nikur shensaker tachad tziporin. In other words, you have to rely on the fact that she cleaned her nails underneath, and that'll be good. Because in other words, remember, this is not our topic today. I discussed in the past. Like, one has long nails, it's considered to be a chatzitza, because one way to explain it is that we've done this, called omid lekatzitz kakatzitz dami. Whatever should be cut, we view it as being cut already. So if that's the case, so the tip of the nail is like cut, but it has the chatzitza in front of it. So that's the problem. But he says if she cleans the nails enough, that's what the Mishnah Berurah says, b'shas d'chak, to do it that way. And I mentioned in the past that Reb Chaim Elazar Grudzinski, like in Europe, between World War I and World War II, things got a lot less frum. So they had women in Vilna who would go to the mikveh, and some of them were more modern already, and they grew long nails and didn't want to cut their nails. And so the question that he wrote Shas and Shuvas Achiezer, but the question he had was, is it better that we should prevent the women from being tovel with the long nails, or just let them go the way they are? And he paskin to let them go the way they are with the long nails. So that's in essence what the Mishnah Berurah is saying, b'shas ha'dachak, to say it that way. All right, now, let me mention one other thing that came up yesterday, and that was about men dyeing their hair, just a little bit more. So it mentions here, this is in the Deir Shu Mishnah Berurah. We have it in the base Medrash, but I have it as well. It's a nice set of Mishnah Berurahs. You know, maybe you've seen them. They have a lot of the recent poskim in it. So he says that to pull out the gray hair, that's asur because of lo yibash geber simlat isha. And then he adds in here, he says, v'chin, this is not the Mishnah Berurah, this is the commentary that he has, v'chin l'spoa se'ar lavan b'tzeva shachur, to dye a man, to dye his hair black. If it's gray, he says, katav shulchan arach, shasur mishum lo yibash. So the Mechaber in Yoridea says, that's a violation of lo yibash geber simlat isha. V'afilu sa'ar achad, even one hair. He says, umi shel binu chelek misarot rosho uzkan, so he talks about, let's say the person has patches of gray hair, it looks peculiar, so it's machloket poskim, whether under those circumstances he could dye the hair. And then he quotes, he says, va'af is manim shegam anashim noagim kain, even though men today in the general public do dye their hair, he quotes the Shevet Alevi, that's Rav Shmuel Vosner, who he says that men are not allowed to dye their hair. He says, because the whole purpose of dyeing the hair is to appear young, and he says that sort of protocol is a minag nashim, like the way women do it. But anyway, at least you have the general thrust of the topic. All right, any questions, comments, and thoughts on anything we did so far? All right, so I'm going to do the Gemara now. So we're on, let me get my Gemara out. Where's my Gemara here? Okay, so we're on Sadi Hey Amid Aleph, 95A. We're around 10 lines down in the Gemara, okay? So I'm up to Tanu Rabbanan. Okay, everybody have it. Sadi Hey Amid Aleph, 95A, around 10 lines down in the Gemara. So we went sort of like an aside here. We're really talking about Hotza'ah, and then we got into a whole discussion about the Malachot, and then we'll go back to more Hotza'ah. So Tan Rabbanan, we learn in the Braisa, Cholev, if a person milks a cow on Shabbat. Now, just to make this short, it's going to come out that Cholev, we've done this already, it's a tolda of Mefarek. Mefarek, it's not a tolda, milking is Mefarek. Mefarek is a tolda of Dash. In other words, Dash is when you're separating the grain from like the stalks. So Mefarek is you're extracting the milk. In other words, like it's covered with the other growth matter and you get the grain out of it. Similarly, the food is covered with other matter and you get the food out. So that's a mefarek. Mechabetz is separating the curdles from the whey. In other words, when you make cheese, in other words, you have milk and then you put the curdling agent in it and then parts, like the constituent elements separate. So you get one part gets curdled and the other part, you get whey, which is like the watery part. So Rashi has two pshatim on this. So Rashi's preferred pshat is you have a strainer that holds back the curds and lets go of the whey. That's Rashi's preferred pshat. But he quotes another pshat that it means that you're mamid with the keva. In other words, you have either the keva in the milk or the milk in the keva. You get the idea. So you're causing the milk to coagulate. Let's see the Rashi on that. Hamachabetz on the third white line. He says, Hamamid hachalav bekeva. So remember, mamid, what does mamid mean? That's when you're applying the rennet, right? You're mamid, and it was causing it to coagulate. He says, the chalav bekeva. Keva is the maw, or the abomasum, the fourth stomach of the cow. So he says, Velina Rerash, he says, Machabetz osek min kli gemi. In other words, he makes like a strainer with reeds. He says, Venotain hakafui betocho. You put like this whole like coagulated mixture in it. He says, Umea chalav shein nisyove notvim. And the whey, in other words, the thinner part drips out and you're left with the curds. He says, Below is in otan. Onchitis, in old French, you call it onchitis. Okay, all right. So back in the Gemara now. So the Gemara, we don't know this yet, but the Gemara is going to say that mechabetz is a din in borer. Borer is you're separating the ochel mitok solat. I want the curds, I don't want the whey, so I'm separating one from the other. That's what it's going to come out. A tolda borer. Let's go further. Acholei b'mechabetz v'hamegabein, megabein, like I'd say cheesify. like there's certain words you don't have in English, they have in Hebrew. Megabein, like to make cheese, but that's not what, like megabein is one word, like you know, to make cheese. You take the curds and you squeeze them all together and make some cheese with it. So those are three malachot, let's see, kigrogeret. So if you do, we'll see what's coming up. So if you do any of those, the size of a grogeret is a dried fig. We know that's the shear by Ochlin, by Hotza'a. And here we have another thing by Ochlin, grogeret. Then hamachabed, if a person sweeps the floor, talking about like a dirt floor on Shabbat, and we'll see, it's going to be a question of bona when you're sweeping the floor. Bahamarabates. Marabates is like you drop water. They would drop water so the dust would collect on the floor. Also an issue of bona, we'll see. Varoda chalot devash, or he removes a honeycomb, and we'll see it's going to be Shabbos or Yontiv, and that's going to be a question of kotzer, of reaping. We'll see in a minute. Shagag b'Shabbat chayav chatat. So if he does any of these, according to the Tanakhama, shogeg on Shabbos, he's chayav a korban chatat. In other words, those are all malachos doraisa, according to the Tanakhama. He says, hezid b'yom tov, if on Yontiv he does these malachos b'mezid, so he's loke arba'im divir Reb Lezer. He gets 40 malachot. Again, if you violate Shabbos b'mezid, you get misa, right? You get death or karet. But Yontiv, you get 40 malachot. Yontiv is not as chamur as Shabbos. Now, one question. Let's look at the Tosfos. 1, 2, 3. The third Tosfos from the top. Varoda chalot devash. Tema Luri. Now remember, Tema, what a fern, Tema, what's Tema? Tema, right, that's it. You got a fern. I can't hear you, but I'm sure you said it. That's Tosos's, yeah, toughest question. Tema Luri, he says, am I lo kebiyom tov? Why should he get malkos on Yontiv? We know that ochel nefesh is permitted on Yontiv, right? I'm allowed to do malacha to prepare food on Yontiv. So here, let's go back into that brisa. So the first three malachot were milking the cow, mechabetz, you're separating the curds from the whey, and megabein, you're making the cheese. So so if you slip all the way to the end of the Tosfos, which is the way we do it in Daf Yomi, three lines above where it gets wide, but omerim the ikel uchme baroda samach lechashecha. So Tosfos says the cases we're talking about, you did. Like you're moving the honeycomb. Let's say you move the honey from the honeycomb. You did it right near nightfall. In other words, so there's not going to be time for you to eat it on Yontiv. You're doing it in a way that you would not be able to eat it on Yontiv. He says, "Delo chazi tu leorchin." In other words, sometimes I do it on Yontiv, and I can say hoil. Since it's re'ui for orchim, so I could do it. In other words, theoretically, I never know when a guest is going to come into the house, so I'm okay with it. So, but I'm doing it close to nightfall. I don't have that hesber. He says, Inami b'dvash shehidbish o asr banad lo chazi l'achila. Or else Tosfos says, he did it with honey that like became sour. In other words, so even though I'm removing the honey, but the honey's inedible, or it's isuri hana'a. But anyway, there's a question about those things by Yontiv. Let me just leave it with that question. Now let's see further in the Gemara. Now in the Braisa. So, b'chachamim omrim, back in the Brice, the chachamim say, echad zeh ve'echad zeh, in elu mishum shvut. Whether it's Shabbos or it's Yontiv, these things are not prohibited in our Torah, they're only prohibited on a Drabbanan level. Now, there's a whole machloket Rishonim, how to understand this Brice. So, a lot of Rishonim say that the chachamim are only cholik with the last three. In other words, when it comes to cleaning up the house, sweeping, you know, and taking the honey out, there they say it's prohibited on a Drabbanan level. But the first three, they agree it's prohibited on a Torah level, milking the cow and things like that. And we've spoken in the past, again, with milking the cow, and this Rabbi Simon Wolf mentioned it also today. I was listening, like the way we do it is if you need to, because the cows are in pain if they're not milked. So you're cholev le'ibud. You milk it in a way that the milk will be destroyed immediately. Like there's like some gasoline in the pail or something like that. And he was saying that today, and I mentioned it earlier, that today the cows just walk in, everything is set up, and then automatically, electronically, everything gets milked. So the farmers don't have to do anything. It's mostly in Eretz Israel because that's where you have Jewish farmers. Okay, now let's see back on the Gemara. All right, so that's the Braisa. Now, Rav Nachman Bar Gurya ikla l'Neir HaDo'a. Rav Nachman Bar Gurya came to Neir HaDo'a. Ba'u minei. They asked him, cholev mishamay mechayev. If a person milks the cow on Shabbos, what is he chayev for? What has he violated by milking the cow? So amar lehu mishum cholev. He says, for milking. And then they said, mechabes mishamay mechayev. If a person strains the curds from the whey on Shabbos, what is he chayev for? So Amar Lahu Mishum Mechabes. That's what Mechabes, not helping too much. He says, Megabe Mishum Mai Chayev. If a person collects the curds into cheese, what is he chayev for? Amar Lahu Mishum Megabe. So Amrulei, so they said to him, he says, Rabba Katil Kani Ba'agmahava. Your Rebbe was like a cutter of reeds. It means like your Rebbe must not have been very good if this is what he taught you. I don't know if he means like you're not very good, but they didn't want to say it. They said your Rebbe, but like, cocktail, you know, this expression in the Gemara, it comes up in Sanhedrin also, like Atu Anan, Katle Kani Ba'agma, are we like just cutters of reeds? In other words, so like, you know, you're not helping us with this whole thing. So Atu Shalil Bei Medrasha, so Rav Nachman Bar Gurya went to the Beis Medrash, which is a good place to go when you have a question. Don't look in these Jewish newspapers, don't call your friends, go to the Beis Medrash and find the answers there. So he says, "Ata shayel be'medrasha amrulei cholev chayev mishum mafarek." That cholev, milking a cow on Shabbat, is your chayev because of mafarek. Mafarek is extracting something, extracting a food. So extracting a food from another object, and it's a tolda of dash. Let's see Rashi on this, and this Rashi is a nice Rashi to remember. It's the 10th or 12th narrow line in Rashi. Mafarek k'mo mafarek masui. So it's connected. Like we usually talk about towing and mafarek. Towing, you load up the animal. Mafarek, you unload the animal. So Rashi says, k'mo mafarek masui. It's like taking off like a load off an animal. He says, shaporek ochel mimakom shenit kasebo. You're extracting the food from the place that it was covered over. Bahabi tolda dash. It's a tolda of dash. Dash is threshing. So threshing, you're separating the grain from the stalk and everything else. Here you're separating the milk from the cow. The Itta Amri told the Kotzer. Some say, now the Gemara just says it's Mefarek. So some want to say, Rashi says, it's a told of Kotzer. Kotzer is reaping. He says, Velohi. It's not true, Rashi says. The Lab Mechubarhu. Kotzer is only Mechubar Lakarka. Something's growing. I have the din in Kotzer that we'll see a little bit later on with the honeycomb. It's going to be Kotzer. It's not exactly, we'll see. He says here, Ella pakid va'akir v'koi ba'atine hadad. Rather, it's like isolated in the udders of a cow. Kitvua b'kasheha, like tivua, like grain in its stalks. U'lashon mefarik nami lo shayach l'meimar u'lashon tolesh. Then Rashi, he puts the nail in the coffin with that shot. Kotzer doesn't make sense conceptually, but in addition to which Rashi says it doesn't make sense that they would use the term mefarek. They'd say tolesh. In other words, you're unhooking something from that was attached. Say tolesh. Don't say mefarek. All right, let's see back in the Gemara, and then I'll pause in a minute. Okay, so the Gemara says mechabetz. We're near the small vav in the Gemara, around eight lines above where it gets wide. Mechabetz is separating the curds from the whey. Mechabis chay mishum borer. Borer is selecting, right? We did this already in Klal Gadol. Then he says megabein, which is making the cheese, gathering all the curds together and forming a cheese, chay mishum bona. It's building, even though you don't think of it that way, but that's the malacha of bona on Shabbat. Now, all right, now, okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? Everybody good? All right, I'm going on. Okay, now, so we're up to a hamachabed, around eight lines above where it gets wide, all right? So we did three malachot already. Those were like the cheese ones. And now we're going to the sweeping ones. Hamachabed of a person. This is again quoting the Braisa that we just had above. So the Gemara says Hamachabed, if a person sweeps on Shabbats, Hamarabed. Marabed says they would drop water to get the dust to settle. I don't know the word for that in English. Baharoda chalot davash, or if a person's roda chalot davash, he removes the honeycombs on Shabbat or Yantiv. He says shagag b'Shabbat chayav chatat. If it was shogeg on Shabbos, he's chayav chatat, which means he did a malacha doraisa. He's a biyom tov loka arabim divrei Reb Lezer. If he was mazed on Yantiv, he also did a malacha doraisa. He says now Amar Reb Lazar. That's the end of the braisa. Now Amar Reb Lazar. This is Reb Lazar ben Pedat. He's an Amora. Amar Reb Lazar, my Talmud Reb Lezer. Now he's focusing with the honey. Now again, let's go back. You know, I didn't do this Rashi with you, but if you look earlier, the fourth narrow line in Rashi from the top, Chayav Chatat, Lakami Mefarish Tama Daharoda Chalot Devash Chayav Mishum Toleish, and then Umechabidim Rabes Mishum Bona. So the Gemara is going to say that it's Toleish. With the honeycomb. We'll see in a minute. And the other ones are bona. So back in the Gemara, so Amar Reb Lazar, five lines above where it gets wide, Amar Reb Lazar, my Talmud Reb Lezer, what's the reason for the Tana Reb Lezer, who says you're over a derice level if you take the honeycomb out on Shabbos, dichtiv vayitbol ota b'yarad ha-devash. So does anybody remember where this pasuk is, what it's talking about in Shmuel Aleph? All right. Anyway, so it's talking about, there's an incident with Yehonatan, Shaul's son, Yehonatan. So like every other parak in Shmuel Aleph, they're going to war with the Plishtim. So they have a war with the Plishtim, and Shaul gives a shvua to everybody. Nobody should eat today. Nobody should eat today. Now, even though they're going to battle, but that's the way they did it. Nobody should eat today. So Yehonatan and his arms bearer goes off to engage the Plishtim. They didn't hear about the shvua. Then Yehonatan gets hungry. He tests his staff. He takes his staff, he sticks in the honey, and he eats some of the honey. And then later on, you know, there's a question whether whether he should be punished for violating the Shavua. So, but the point is that the Gemara says that the Naveen, when it describes it, it says, Vayipolotaba Ya'arat HaDavash. He dipped the staff in the Ya'arat HaDavash, in the honey forest. So we would expect it, Alpidiktuk, to say, B'chalat HaDavash, in the honeycomb. It says, B'ya'arat HaDavash. It says, in the honey forest. So he says, "V'chima inyan ya'ar eitzel devash." What does the forest have to do with devash, with honey? Elo marlecha is to teach you. This is according to the Tana Reb Lezer. My ya'ar hatolish menu b'shabbat chayav chatad. Just like the forest, if I detach a branch from a tree on Shabbat, I'm chayav because of toleish. Kotzer is with the tevua, and this is toleish. So he says, "Af chalot devash." So too with the honeycombs, harodem imenu b'shabbat chayav chatad. In other words, the pasuk, according to Tan Reb Lezer, is megala to us that this is a din in toleish. So it's a little hard to quite understand exactly. Like you have the beehive is typically in a tree, I assume, but not necessarily so. But nevertheless, it's considered to be like toleish. So I don't have more of a hezbra on that, but just away with this. Now, again, the Chachamim disagree with that. They hold it's just a din derabanan. In other words, it's not actually the melacha deraisa, but it looks like the Malacha Doraisa. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. Now, the Gemara says two lines before it gets wide. Amemar Shari Zilcha B'Mechuzah. Now, Amemar permitted people to water their dust on Shabbat. Now, Rashi says, Zilcha, everybody in Rashi, 10 lines from the bottom, L'Rabetz Habayit, in other words, like your whatever that is, watering the house, U'Ritz Paravanim Haytah B'Cholayir. Rashi adds on, everybody in this town, Mechuzah, had stone floors, not dirt floors. They had stone floors. So back in the Gemara, so on the first last narrow line, Amar Tamamai Amur Rabbanan. Why did the Chachamim say? Now he's assuming that it's a din de Rabbanan. This Marabates, not like the Tana Reb Lezer. So the Chachamim said it's only prohibited on a de Rabbanan level. So he says, why did the now again? So it means like this. According to the Tana Reb Lezer, just the act of being merabates, or even mechabed, or even sweeping, is like helping the structure. So we view it as bona. But according to the Chachamim, it's not actually bona, but there is a shot, there is a possibility that the dirt that you're causing, and again, if you have a dirt floor, that you're watering down the dirt, and then maybe some of that dirt will go into a crevice you know, that needs it. And so Melech could end up being that way. So he says, Tama maya murabanan. So why did the Chachamim say that you shouldn't do this? Dilma ati la shvuyei gumo, because you may come to like even out the gumo. In other words, either like by doing it, it'll end up in a guma, and you'll end up sort of evening out the floor. Hacha leka gumo. Here in Mechuza, we have no gumo. So it's interesting because it's a very tricky issue. Like, when does the halacha change under different circumstances? Here you have Gzeirah d'Rabbanan, but he's mechalik in the application if it's a locality where everybody has a stone floor. But that's the importance of Rashi. Rashi doesn't say one person had a stone floor. Rashi says everyone in the community had a stone floor. So it sounds like, and I think this Rabbi Simon Wolf said this today, so it sounds like, so if one person would have it, then it would still be prohibited at the Rabbanan level. But everybody's got stone floors, so he's matir it. Now, the first wide line, Rabba Tosfa'a, and the Bach has Rabba Tosfa'a with a hay, Ashchel Ravina, Deka Mitztar Mehavlo. So Rabba encountered Ravina that it was in distress from the Havla. Havla is like breath, air, but apparently the air was dusty. He's like choking on the air. Va'amri lo, others say, Mar Kashisha Bered the Rabba, Ashchel Ravashi, Deka Mitztar Mehavlo. Others say that Mar Kashisha encountered Ravashi, who was suffering from this bad air. So Amarle, so he said to him, Lo Savala Mar Lahadatanya, don't you hold from that which we learn in the Braisa, Harotza the Rabetza Beto B'Shabbat. If a person, now again, even the Chachamim hold, Rabetza is to drop the water on the dust, and then the dust, you know, collects into a mass. So the Chachamim say it's prohibited on a Rabbanan level. So he says, don't you hold from the Braisa says, Harotza the Rabetza Beto B'Shabbat. If a person wants to do that watering on Shabbat, Mevi Areva Malei Amayim, he brings a trough or a bowl filled with water. Verochitz Pana Bezabitzu, he washes his face in one corner of the house, and then some of the water is going to splash around. Yada Bezabitzu, he washes hands in another corner of the house, and some of the water will splash around. Ragla Bezabitzu, and then his feet in another corner of the house splash around. Venimsa Habayit Mitra Beitz Meilab. So then it comes out like the whole house got like watered, the dust got watered. So even though he's like, it's the type of Ha'arama, right? Type of Ha'arama. He's doing one thing and it ends up this way. So it means that the Tana the Braisa holds that this concern to Rabbanan level was kind of remote and the Chachamim permitted you to do it under these circumstances. So whether either this was said to Ravina or it was said to Ravashi, but whoever it was says, Amar le laba datoi. So lava datai means either I didn't know that brisa, or, and this is like a pregnant or I knew the brisa, but I reject the brisa, right? That's quite the difference, how I explain lava datai. This is like, it's not in my mind. Like, so what does he mean? They're like, I don't know about it, or I don't want to know about it. So he says now, Tana, a Tana taught in a brisa, Isha Chachama, if the wife is a, we'd say a kluger mensch in Yiddish, right? So so a smart woman, meaning, and look what Rashi says on Isha Chachama, 6 lines, 8 lines from the bottom. Esha Tamen Chacham, she's the wife of a Tamen Chacham, o bat Tamen Chacham, sheshama miyaviya. So, or she heard the Divrei Torah from her father. So she's the wife of a Tamen Chacham, or the daughter of a Tamen Chacham. That's what we mean by an Isha Chachama. Means that she knows like all these Torah that she heard from her father or her husband. So
from the teacher.
One minute, my dear. We'll have a chance to comment in a minute. Okay, let's just do this again. Okay, there we go. All right, now. So he says here, Satana, Tana Torah Braisa, Isha Chachama, Marbetzet Beita B'Shabbat, she could, you know, put down all the dust on Shabbos, and she'll do it the way we just described with the washing, the whole Zach. Now, the previous sugya depends on the idea. Remember, we said there's a machloket about ein mitkaven. So if I do something which may occur or may not occur, so Reb Shimon says it's okay. That's the, remember, goer adam mita kisei v'safsal. That's what Fern knows. So that's right. It was in the second parak. Right, dragging the bench, the whole thing. So it may make a charetz, may not make a charetz. But Reb Yehuda holds it's prohibited. So the previous sugi is going with the tzad like Reb Yehuda, so it's prohibited. So he says here, v'ha'idna d'sfir lan k'Reb Shimon, according to the way that we hold like Reb Shimon, that davar shein mitkavein, you have a green light to do it, Shari afid l'chachila. So the Gemara says that even he says the dust, you can water the dust immediately. In other words, you don't intend to level the holes, and so it's totally mutar is what the Gemara is saying this way. If you hold like Reb Shimon, which is the way we hold like Reb Shimon. All right, now it's time to sing. Who's got questions, comments, or thoughts? Let me hear from everybody. Nobody? Silence. Michael, now it's time for you to make your statement. Yeah, let me hear you, Michael. No, even Michael doesn't want to say.
I was just going to say that it's a good thing that it came out right, because Rabbi Yonish called it safe one of his from Yaris Tavash.
All right. He did call it Yaros Tavash. He did call it Yaros Tavash. All right. So, all right, let's take a look back on the Gemara. All right, so we're four lines from the bottom on Sadi Hamad Aleph, okay? So, Manitin, now this is talking about our Atzitz that's Nakuv and Atzitz Eino Nakuv. So, this is like throughout Shas, but here you have a nice, you know, sugya on it. So, if I have a flower pot, so what's in the flower pot is viewed as being talush. It's not part of the ground, and it has a nafkamina lachot. We'll see a whole series of halachot. But if it's an atzitz nakuv, if it's perforated, it has holes in it, so then we'll see that there's a tzad in the Gemara to say that we view it as part of the ground, attached to the ground. All right, so let's see back in the Gemara. Manitin, hatolesh me'atzitz nakuv chayav. So the Tana of the Braisa says that if a person is tolish, in other words, something's growing in the flower pot, and I detach it on Shabbat, so I'm chayiv, I'm like tolish, it's a told of kotzer, because he says it's atzitz nakuv, it has perforation, so it's like it's just the same as if I, you know, broke off something that was growing in the ground. B'she'eno nakuv patur, but if it's eino nakuv, it's not perforated, then I'm off the hook. Patur means patur of alasur, because it's in a flower pot. That's not the same as growing in the ground. Reb Shimon poter bazeh. The Tana Reb Shimon says I'm patur in either case. So again, the Tana Reb Shimon says if it's in a flower pot, whether it's nakuv or eino nakuv, whether it's perforated or not perforated, it's talush. It's separated from the ground. It's in a different getter, according to the Tana Reb Shimon. Whereas according to the Tana Kama, if it's a non-perforated pot, yeah, it's talush. But if it's perforated, we don't view it as being talush. So it's not as talush, so I can be chayiv on a derisa level if something's growing in it and I break off something from that's growing in the pot. All right, now we'll see.
Question.
What?
What about like cutting or gozes or something if it's not in a perforated pot? You still can't rip something off.
Yeah, that's what I said. Again, when it's not gozes is like by the animal, things like
the
that.
The shearing.
Kotzer, right? But kotzer. I remember, what did I say? It says patur. It means patur al valasur. Right. Okay, that's it. Okay, now back in the Gemara. Now, three lines to the bottom. So, Rami le Abaye the Rava. So, Abaye posed the following question to Rava. Va'amri la Reb Chiya Barav le Rav. Others say, Chiya Barav, Rav's son, asked his father Rav. Tanan Reb Shin Poter Bazel Bazel. We're going to focus on the opinion of the Tana Reb Shimon. In the Mishnah, we learned that Reb Shimon says you're off the hook for Tolesh on Shabbos if it's in any sort of a pot, whether it's perforated, non-perforated, so it's not mechubar. So that's what it means. It's that we view the contents as being talush already. So it's already detached. He says, Alma nakuv Reb Shimon she'eno nakuv mashvilei. So it sounds like Reb Shimon understands the category of a perforated pot, the same as an unperforated pot, is all talish. That's the way it sounds like. Uraminu, on this we pose a contradiction from the following brisa, the bottom line on Sadi Hayman Aleph. Reb Shimon Omer, Ein Bein Nakuv L'Sheino Nakuv. Reb Shimon says, there's no difference between whether it's a perforated pot or unperforated pot. Turn page, top line on Sadi Hayman Beis. El L'Hachshir Zerayim Bavad. There is one nafkamina, Lahakshir Zerayim. So Lahakshir Zerayim gets us into this Tumantara, and just to refresh your recollection, you know, foods, in order to be Mekabel Tuma, have to have water put on it. But the water has to be put on or to the foods like they grow in the ground. So when it's growing, it rains, but that doesn't count. It's only when it's detached, then the water can be Makshirit for Tuma, right? Then the water can be Makshirit for Tuma. So here, Reb Shimon holds, by Hilchot Shabbat, he holds it's talish, it's totally detached. So it's totally detached. It would be receptive to having water put on, and then it'd be mekabel tumah. But here, the Tana Reb Shimon says there's a difference. He says Ela hachshir zoran bilvad, meaning he views the perforated pot as still being mechubar lakarka vis-a-vis the dinim of tumah and tara, so that it's not subject to a hechsher when it's the perforated pot. So it's hard to understand what is Reb Shimon's shita. We thought Reb Shimon holds straight across the board. It's in a pot. It's detached from the ground. But now we see the Tana Reb Shimon holds, at least in this brisa, that not so fast. So the Gemara says, So whoever was answering the question, either it's Rava or it's Rav. So either Rav is answering Abaye or Rav is answering his son. Amar Lei, L'chol Mili Reb Shimon Kitalish Mashvilei. The emes is, Reb Shimon L'shitato holds, it's in a pot, it's talish, for every halacha. And Rashi helps us out with all the halachot. Look in the fourth wide line in Rashi. L'chol Mili, L'shabbat, when it's redeeming of Shabbos, it's talish. So I'm not chayiv. I'm still prohibited on a drabbanon level, but I can't be chayiv d'oraisa. Let's say I have tomatoes growing in a pot, and then I detach the tomato on Shabbat, and two of my friends stand by and tell me, if you remember, if you do this, you'll be chayiv skila. I say afa pichein, and I go ahead chas v'shalom and take the tomato. I will not be chayiv skila because, according to the Tana Reb Shimon, that is, because it's talish, right? And then he says, b'liknot b'mashicha b'lo b'kesef. Remember, we studied this in a different mesechta, if you may recall, from Daf Yomi. So metaltalim are acquired b'mashicha, and real property could be acquired with kesef. So the Tana Reb Shimon, who views the flower pot as talush, would say if you want to acquire the flower pot, you do it with mashicha. You bring it into your rishus. You don't, you know, put money in the hands of the seller. You have to do the money anyway, but that wouldn't be the kinyan. Ula Prusbol, and then for Prusbol, if remember we had Shemitah a couple of years ago and people were signing Shtar Prusbol, but in order to have an effective Shtar Prusbol, the debtor has to have real property. The debtor has to have real property. So Ula Prusbol, Sheino Nichtav Elo Akarka. So the Tana Reb Shimon holds, if all he's got is a flower pot, doesn't qualify as real property for the dinim of Prusbol. So let's be back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says on the top line again. So it's either we said it's Rava answering Abaye or Rava answering his son. Amar Lei, L'chol Mili, Reb Shimon K'talish Mashvilei. The Emma says he really holds it's talish. B'shani Le'in in Tuma, but by Tuma, you're right. There, he doesn't consider it to be talish. Why? He says, the HaTorah Riv Tatara Eitzel Zerayim. The Torah has a special limud to teach me that it has to be very detached in order to be susceptible to Tumah. So we'll see in a minute. Shneamar Akol Zera Zerua Sher Yizareya. So the Pasuk says in Chumash, it's in Parshat Shmini, this Pasuk says, V'chi Polmi Nivlatam Alav, V'chi Polmi Nivlatam Akol Zera Zerua Sher Yizareya. If I have a dead sheretz, and it falls on a zera zeru asher yizareya, a seed. So the seed didn't have the one of the seven mashkim on it first. So the Torah says tahorhu, it's tahor, right? But if and then in the next pasuk b'chiyu tan mayim, if you put water on the seed and then it happens, then it's tameh. But here, when the Torah, so it has to be in the seed form, it has to be in a form that's totally detached, and that I could even plant it in the ground. Then, and under those circumstances, it's susceptible to being mekabel tuma. So the Torah here in the Pasuk says, Alko zera zerua asher yizareya. Like any zera, zaruah, plant like that I would plant, asher yizareya, that could be planted. So the word asher yizareya is a superfluous term. And it's to teach me that it has to be totally, 100% detached in order to be susceptible to the hechsher. So ad kedei kach, so even though Reb Shimon holds, in it's in a pot, in achinami it's talush, but in achinami it does have a little connection to the ground. And this pasuk teaches me for dine tuma that doesn't count. I mean, for dine tuma it doesn't cut muster, and we have to treat it as mechuber lakarka. All right, any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? All right, let's take a look. So we're on the fourth line from the top. Bai minei hu saba me Rebbe Zeira. So Daf Yomi people remember, there's a Tosfos in Chulin on Davav, And Tosfos there says that some say, whenever it says in Shasa, who Saba, who is it? Let me hear. Fern. Eliyahu Navi. Eliyahu Navi. All right. So Yosef was going to say it. So Eliyahu Navi. So Tosfos quotes an opinion that whenever in the Gemara it says, who Saba, so some say it's Eliyahu Navi. So back in the Gemara, so by Minei who Saba Miruzera, a certain old man asked Rebbe Zera, Shoresh Keneged Nekev, so we're focusing on the opinion of the Tana Reb Shimon. It's a machloket, but according to Reb Shimon, excuse me, anything, whether it's in a pot, whether it's a perforated pot or a non-perforated pot, leaving aside the Tumen Tara, we view it as Talish. So he says, let's see the question. So he says, Shoresh Keneged Nekev, Mali Amar Reb Shimon. What if the root of the plant is right near the hole? So in other words, the pot is, let's say, in the ground, and the pot, the pot is perforated, has holes in it. And now I have, the idea is, like, the root of the plant that's growing in the pot is like right at the hole. So does Reb Shimon say even in that case it's talish? Or do I say the idea is if it's getting yanika from the karka, then we view it as mechuber la karka? So he says, what does Reb Shimon say in that case? So ishtik v'lo amar le v'lo midi. So Reb Zera, he was silent. He didn't say anything. So he didn't, in other words, he was mesupak. He didn't know the answer to the question, so he didn't say anything. And that's also a chachma, right? If you don't know, you don't say, right? So let's see back in the Gemara. So zim lechara ashkeche diyati v'ka'amar. So on another occasion, this person, who might be Eliyahu Navi, encountered Rebbe Zera, who was sitting and stating the following halacha. Umoda Reb Shimon Shimnike Bechtei Taharato, that Reb Shimon concedes that if the hole is Kidei Taharato, Kidei Taharato means you have an earthenware vessel, so if the vessel has a hole, a big enough hole, if it was Tame, it becomes Tahor. So if it has a hole the size of a Zayah, the size of an olive, it was destroying its Tashmish as a Kli. So if it has a big enough hole, so there he says, he concedes that we view it as mechuba lakarka. So now if I have a big enough hole, so he asked him like this, Amarle, so then that old, the older man who might be Eliyahu Navi said to Reb Zera, Hashtashorish Kenege Nekev, Boiminach, Belo Amar, Li Belo Midi. I asked you the other day about the root that's near the hole in the pot, and you didn't answer me because you were Mesupak. You didn't know, do we view it as mechuba lakarka or not, the root. So he says, Nikev, Bechtei Tarato, Mibaya? So if it's Nikev Bechtei Tarato, means here I have something growing in it, and it has a big hole, but the plant that's growing in it may have roots that's far removed from the hole. In other words, I think of a big pot, and it has a hole on the side of it the size of an olive, and I have roots that are at the other end of the pot. So here, on the one hand, you were totally misupak, the root that's near the hole, near the ground, and yet here, in the second case, so pasha to you, the thing, everything is mechuba lakarka, even if the roots are on the other side of the pot, nowhere near the regular ground, shoin. It's so pasha to you. Lechora, I would think that you'd be mesupak on that also. So he says, so that's the question he posed.
Can you explain that again one more time, please?
The question is the plant getting yanika from the ground? In other words, not from the ground in the pot, but the ground outside the pot. Yanika means nourishment. And from Rashi, it sounds like yanika is even like the aroma from the ground. So Reb Shimon says that whatever in a pot is talish. So the older man asked Reb Zera, what if the root is right near the hole? In other words, like the root is right at the entranceway of the hole. Does he still hold it's like talish? Or do I say it's mechuba lakarka? So he says he didn't answer. So it means he's mesupak on that. I don't know. Maybe it's talish, maybe it's not talish. Even though that's a pretty egregious case. So then he finds Reb Zera another day sitting and teaching that the Tana Reb Shimon says if the hole is the size of an olive or larger, then we view it as mechuba lakarka. And everything, even if the roots would be on the other side of the pot, we view it as mechuba lakarka. So he said, here I had a case where the root was right near the hole and you were mesupak about the whole thing. Now you're telling me there's a big enough hole, but even if the roots are on the other side of the pot, It's mechuba lakarka. You should be mesupak on that case too. In other words, if the root is right near the virgin soil, you don't know the answer. So if the root is far from the virgin soil, you should at least be mesupakana. You're so sure that it's father, it's mechuba lakarka. What's wrong, Fern? You look so burnt. So everybody's like not their brows, yeah. Whatever. What's the problem?
When you have the pasuk, I'll call zera zarua sher yizara.
Yizara, right?
You're talking about tumantara. Here also you're talking about tumantara because you're talking about the kezayit of the kli that's making it tahor because it's no longer functioning as the same kli.
That's good for the same halacha that we're saying. In other words, we're getting to the issue. When you say an atzitz nakov, how big is the hole? That's basically what we're discussing. So he says the atzitz nakov. So I have an atzitz which has got a hole in it. So he says it's mechubar. He treats it like mechubar lakarka. But why is it so pashutim in that case? In the other case where the root is right near the virgin soil, it's not so pashut. That's what he's bothered with. In other words, isn't that a stira, minei ubei, within Rabbi Shimon? All right, let's see back in the Gemara. All right, now, this is v'lom v'lom midi. So the Gemara says, we're up to Amar Abaye, right? Okay, so Amar Abaye, v'itmar lohad Reb Zera hachi hu d'itmar. So Abaye said, look, if Reb Zera made this statement, then it doesn't sound like the Husaba got the whole statement. This was the statement. He says, Umoda Reb Shimon, Shimnikev Lamatim Revit. Reb Shimon is Moda, not just that the hole is the size of an olive, but that the hole is below the line in the Keli where it would no longer hold the Revius of water or liquid. In other words, like imagine like a pot, and I have a hole in the side of the pot. If the hole is close to the base of the pot, now the pot can't even hold a revius in it. In other words, the pot below the hole can't even hold a revius. Now, for Dine Tumantara, so if a keli has a hole in it, and we said the size of an olive, so the tuma leaves, the keli's been destroyed. But if in my mind, I think I still want to use the shard, I can use the shard to hold the revius, so then it is makabel tuma. But if it can't even hold a revius, it doesn't even qualify as a shard. So we're talking about a case, it's you could say a little bit, maybe like you're trying to say a little bit, Fern, that we're talking about a case where the keli has lost its existence from every aspect as a keli. The keli halakhically doesn't exist anymore because the hole is so low on it, it doesn't even qualify as a pot shard. In other words, as a broken keli. In other words, I can't even use it as a piece. In other words, nobody would even save it as a pot shard. So even if I'm thinking I use it as a pot shard, nobody would even save it as that. So in that case, that's the case that he said that Reb Shimon is Moda. That's the case that Reb was talking about where the keli has lost its halakhic status totally as a keli. Yeah, in Akinami, everything we view as Mechubar Lakarka and the keli. All right. Now, Amar Rava, Chamesh Midot B'Kli Cheres. Now, Rava says there are five measures, meaning Kli Cheres is an earthenware vessel. Now, an earthenware vessel is only Mekabel Tumah Mitocho, and the idea is when I destroy the keli, if it's Tameh, that loses its Tumah. That's the broad brush approach, but we're going to learn a more nuanced approach. Okay, so we're going to have different size holes that could be in the keli with different implications la halacha. So he says, this is just like tangentially related to what we're discussing. So Amar Rava, Chamesh Midot B'Kli Cheres. There are five sizes holes when we talk about a Kli Cheres. Nikev Kemotzi Mashke. So the smallest hole is, and I don't understand this how this works. Maybe Michael know, with physics, but the Gemara says there's a small hole, so liquids will leave it but not come into it. In other words, so if I would stick the keli in a pot of water and no water would go in. But if I put water in the keli, water would drip out. And it was a very small hole. All right, that's the way the Gemara takes it. So then the Gemara says, Hamidu B'Kli Cheres, Nikev Kemotzi Mashke, Tahor Min Latame Gistra. So it's Vadayin Klihu L'Kadish Bo Mein Chatat. Meaning, if I have a gistra is a pot shard. So if I have again, sometimes the kli, a kli breaks, so it's not tame anymore. But if I designate the kli as a pot shard, I want to use the pot shard. Sometimes the broken kli I could use, like if it holds water. But if even the pot shard doesn't hold water because it's got this small hole in it, so it loses its status totally for DNA tuma as a gistra. So he says, tahor mean the tami gistra. So tahor is used in the sense that it doesn't qualify. We'll see in a minute. He says vadayin kli hu lekadosh bo mechatat, meaning in all other halachot, this kli is 100% kli, and it's so much a kli, even though it has this pinhole in it, it's so much a kli, it can even be used the kadosh bo mechatat to add the para aduma ashes to the mechatat, and there the Torah says venatan mayim chaim el keli. He puts the spring water in a keli, so the Torah says you need a keli for mechatat. So in, even though it has this small hole that only water goes out of it, doesn't come into it, that's good for every dinim of kelim except for gistra. Gistra, it's not good because by gistra, if it's dripping water, nobody says, let's get a gistra for a gistra. In other words, I have this potsherd and then I get another potsherd to collect the dripping water. All right, now.
Why would you use it for mei para aduma when it's so expensive and it's leaking out?
Let's say you didn't realize it had the pinhole in it and you use it. And now, so is the mechatat good or not? And the answer is?
Mechatat is gone.
No, the answer is it's good. I can put alpha, so anyway, it's good. Okay, let's.
It's a metric. It's a metric to determine it.
All right, okay. Let's see back in the Gemara. Now, so now the next size hole. Nikev kikones mashka. Now the hole is slightly bigger. So now the hole is so big that not only will water leak out of the hole, water will leak into the hole. So it's a slightly larger hole. Nikev kikones mashka, tahor min lekadosh bo mechatat. Meaning it's not usable now to be Kaddish Mechatat. Now it's possible for the Mechatat. Vadayin klihu lahakshir bo zeraim. But it's still considered a keli to be makshir zeraim. Meaning that if the zeraim are growing into this pot with a small pinhole in it, you know, or a larger pinhole in it, so it's still considered to be talush and subject to hekshir zeraim. Hekshir to zeraim. Okay. Now, let me just do the Rashi on this on Tihar, which is more grammatical. If you look in the eighth very wide line in Rashi, Tahor min lekadosh bo mechatat, Tahor lav dafka. Rashi says Tahor doesn't mean literally Tahor. Tahor means like the opposite of Tameh. So here the Gemara is not using Tahor in that sense. El kmo Tihar Yoma, which we had in Daf Yomi. Tihar Yoma means the day is gone. It's finished, like kaput. Tihar Yoma, it's finished. So he says, Kolomar, it's not a kli for mechatat. So tahor means not a kli anymore. Okay? All right. That's a nice Rashi to remember. All right. Let's go back on the Gemara. Now we have five categories. We did two categories. We did the two pinhole ones. Now we're getting to the more serious ones. Now, Nike, we're on eight lines from the bottom in the Gemara on Sunny Hema Bays. Nikev kishorish katan. Now the hole is like the small root. The hole is the size of a small root. He says tahor mi lahachshir bo zrayim. So it no longer qualifies for hechshir zrayim, meaning that the zrayim that are growing in that pot are viewed as part of the ground, and now so it's not subject to, you know, to having the liquid put on it and be mekabel tuma. But it's still a keli that olives could be put in. So olives could be put in. So we know, like for Dine Tumantara, it's still subject to Tuma and things like that. Okay, now we're next larger. Nikev Kamotzi Zaytim, let's say the hole is enough that even olives go out of it. Tahor mean the Kabobo Zaytim. So it's Tahor mean the Kabobo Zaytim, meaning if it's a keli and it gets a hole in it, an earthenware vessel gets a hole in it, the size that Zaytim would go out of it, a Stam Keli, so now if it has Tuma, it loses its status of Tuma because we don't view it as a Keli anymore. He says, but it could be, if you designate it for pomegranates, it could be, it still has a Chalachim Kli. He says, Nikev Kemotzi Rimonim, now let's say it has a big hole the size of a pomegranate, which is a pretty big hole, Tahor miklum. It's totally, the kli is totally tahor. It's not a kli anymore. There's not much we could do. When it's dead, it's dead, it's dead. But vimhu kafts mid patil, if it was sealed, he says, ad shifachet rubo. So here he's talking about a din by Oel Hamet. So you may recall in the beginning of Parshat Chukat, So you have the dead body, and it's in the ohel. So everything in the ohel becomes tameh, except if I have a kli cheres, and this is the way Rabbi Simon Wolf was saying it, kli cheres is only tameh mitocho, not migabo, and on the outside. So if the kli cheres is sealed, the tumah can't penetrate it, unless the kli was already tameh, which the kli cheres is not kosei pifnei tumah. And Rabbi Simon Wolf mentioned that as well. Now, So the way the Gemara is saying, where this is Rava who's quoting this, Rava's saying, so if it has a hole the size of a pomegranate, it's not a kli anymore for most dinim. But if it was a sealed vessel and it has a hole in it the size of a pomegranate and it's still sealed, it will still be effective in blocking the tumah to the contents of the vessel. So in that way, so this he says, Vim hukatsmi patil. There, we have to have where most of the vessel is open. All right, now.
How is this sealed if it has a hole in it?
No, it means like this. Here, let's say you have a vase, a big vase. Yeah. On top, there's a lid. The lid is sealed. On the side of the vase, there's a hole. Okay? All right, now, let's see back in the Gemara.
But what about to store something bigger than a rimon, like a watermelon or something?
Yeah, so the Gemara is not machshiv that. The Gemara takes it, stam is zaytim, and if you're machshiv rimonim, that's it, and then that's the way the Gemara takes it. I don't know if they ever stored a thing larger than that or not, but that's the way the Gemara takes the halacha. Now, let's take a look. Now, three lines. So we had five dinim with the kli cheres. Now, and the most important are the last three. One is the size of the root, the size of the olive, and the size of the pomegranate. Okay, now, Amale Rava. So Rava's now, I'm sorry, five lines to the bottom. Amaravasi, Amaravasi, Shemati Kli Cheres Shiro Kamotzi Rimon. Ravasi said, I heard that the shear for Kli Cheres is the size of a pomegranate. Amale Rava. So Rava said to him, and Rava is the same one who gave those five midot. So he says, Amale Rava, Shemelo Shemata. Now this is going to be different than what we learned, so you got to be patient. So the Gemara says, Amale Rava, Shemelo Shemata el Bemukav Samid Patil. Maybe you only heard that din of Motzi Rimon in terms of the din of where it's sealed, meaning that it's Motzi Rimon, so now it doesn't protect the contents. Now earlier we said, if it's Motzi Rimon, it does protect the contents, unless it's broken like most of the circumference, something like that. But here he says, Rava himself says, you heard Motzi Rimon, maybe you only heard Motzi Rimon by the Samid Patil, and then you're out of business once it's like the size of a pomegranate. So the Gemara says, Rava hu damar mukav Samid Patil ha'shvichei rubo. But Rava himself said, if it's Samid Patil, so it has to be broken on most of it. And again, because the Torah says, v'chol kli fatuach, it has to be an open kli for the tumah to go in. So fatuach means really open. So he says here, so lokasha, so we have two statements of Rava. The first statement of Rava, yeah, they both have a kli cheres, they both have holes in it the size of a pomegranate, and they're both sealed vessels. So in one he says that it still protects the contents until it's open on most of it. And one he says you're out of business once it's got the rimon. So he says, lokasha, top line on Sadi Baba Madalef, Lokasha, Habaravrave, Habazutre, that Rava was talking about two different types of kalim. If it's a very large keli, so then the pomegranate size doesn't put it out of business for the tuma in terms of, you know, protecting the items from the mace until it's nifchaparubo, until most of it's opened up. He says, but Habazutre, the second statement of Rava is talking about a much smaller keli, then once you have the size of the pomegranate, so you're out of business. Now, in the art scroll, it's a little tricky how to define what's big and what's large and what's small. So they quote in footnote 1 in the art scroll, he says, the Marashal Sfasemis and the Ruch HaShulchan Ha'atid, the Ruch HaShulchan, he wrote one sefer, a Ruch HaShulchan on the four Halakim and Shulchan Aruch, and then he wrote another set, which is just like Halakot related to, like, you know, Yemos HaMashiach, like Mashiach Zeiten. So he says here, so in the Shulchan Aruch Ha'atid, he says, Rashi is saying, small as any utensil, which a pomegranate hole represents more than half its structure. In other words, so the pomegranate size represents more. In other words, in Achinami, it comes out basically the same thing if it's more than half open. So if the pomegranate itself is more than half open, then you're out of business. That's the second statement. Large is one in which such a whole constitutes half or less of its structure. All right, let me do a few more lines in the Gemara, and then that will be it. Okay, the top line on Sadi Vavam and Aleph. So Amar Ravasi. Ravasi says, Shonin. Shonin here, Rashi says, let's get the Rashi. Shonin, the first white line, and the second. Shonin of Tanaim, Shonin Braita. The Tanaim teach the following Braisa. But it's interesting why the Gemara has that expression here, and, you know, elsewhere you have other expressions, is it not? All right. So Shonin, Kli Cheres, Shiro B'Kones Mashke. That a Kli Cheres, the shear is when water enters into it. V'lo Amru Motzi Mashke. And they only said motzi mashke, that's like the first and the second size, ela inin gistra bovad, in terms of the gistra. In other words, this is saying that, in other words, remember when the pot shard is dripping, it doesn't qualify as a pot shard. Remember, we discussed this earlier, right? In other words, even if the kli is destroyed, but I could think, you know, I'm not done with this kli, I could still use it, because it still holds a revius of liquid. But if on top of that the pot shard has got a hole in it where it's dripping, so then it's kaput. Okay, now, so my timer, what's the reason for that? Amar Marzutra, Rei Rav Nachman, Lefisha Inomrim Havei Gistra LeGistra. Nobody says, let's get another pot shard for a pot shard. It's like, let's throw it in the garbage, is what they say. like the whole thing's a mess to begin with, and now it's dripping, so like we're finished with it. In other words, if it's a real clay, you know, you get it like a gistra to hold it. Okay, now Amar Ula says, Pliba Trey Amarai B'Ma'arava. There's Machloka between two Amaraim in the West. And who remembers where we've had these two Amaraim? I think I didn't check it up, but I think we had these two. He says, Rabbi Yossi B'Rabbi Avin, Rabbi Yossi Bar Zavda. Who remembers where we had these two? In Masechet Shabbat. So the way I recall, it's in the Sugi with Hanukkah. It's on Chaf Beis Amud Beis or Chaf Gimel Amud Beis. They had a machloket. Anyway, so he says here, Chadamar Kamotzi Rimon. One says the shear for the Kli Cheres to put it out of business is the size of a Rimon. He says, V'chadamar Kishorish Katan. One says it's the size of a small root. So he says here, V'simanech, the Siman to remember that those are the two Siman, these two took those two Simanim. So as we had five Shearim. So the last three shiurim were the small root, the olive, and the pomegranate. These two amarayim want to say that once it's a certain size, it's kaput. So one says small root, and one says pomegranate. The simanech, the siman to remember that those are the two sizes that were in dispute, echad amar b'echad amamid. So echad amar b'echad amamid is the last Mishnah Masechet Menachot, which Dafyomi people had about a year and a half ago. Remember, it's the last Mishnah Masechet Menachot on Kuf Yud, I believe on the Bay, says, it says Nemar the Mincha Reach Nichoach, and it says Nemar Ba'olad Ha'of Reach Nichoach, and Nemar with the Keves Reach Nichoach, to teach you Echad Amar Be'Echad Hamamit Uvat Shechavin Libo L'Shamayim, that when you give a lot or a little, you do the best you can with what you got, and Hashem is Machshavit. So the Siman to remember between these two Amarayim is a Echad Amar V'Echad Hamamid, when you do a lot or a little. And it was the key of the last three Shiurim. So remember, the Machloket was small root and the big pomegranate. That's the Machloket. Okay, now, let's just do a little bit more, since this is our Daf Yomi enrichment program for all the people in Daf Yomi. And is everybody still here or people left out on me here? Okay, good. All right, now, let me just do a little bit. There's one interesting thing kind of I want to mention. I think I'll do this a la Daf and then I'll leave it. We said about the Malacha Megabain, and we said Megabain was the problem of Bona. That's when you got the cheese curdles and you put them together. The Rambam explains that pressing the individual piece of cheese together into one piece is considered building. So I have a building with the cheese curdles. And again, this is from the Aladaf. So all Malacha which are prohibited on Shabbos are prohibited on Yantib, except Malacha which are Ochel Nefesh. And he says, so Beis Hillel says that those Malacha which are permitted for the sake of Ochel Nefesh are permitted for other Yantib purposes as well. This is based on the rule Mitosho, which was the Sorach Ochel Nefesh, which Nami Shlo the Tzorach. So I'm allowed to do something for cooking. I could do the Malacha even for not cooking, but it's Sorach of Yantiv. For example, you can allow to do Hotza'ah for food. If I need food, I could carry the food on Yantiv. So Mela, I could also carry for other reasons as long as it relates to Yantiv. It means like for a Lulav, I need a Lulav. He says, however, malacha like sewing, which is never needed for ochel nefesh, not for any purpose on yantiv. Now, the thing, you know, thank God we have an Erev here, but I don't think people are quite so sensitive to this. In other words, if you have things on your pocket on yantiv, it has to be tzorech yantiv. Otherwise, you are a chayev for hotzah. Do you understand? So if I'm carrying something and I don't need it today, then I would be chayev for hotzah on yantiv. I mean, if you have an Erev, that's something else, but without an Erev, you would still run into problems, even carrying on Yantav. Now, Tosfos on Ardaf, Arode, raised an interesting question. Presumably, one who wants to eat cheese on Yantav is permitted to make it because it's being done in preparation for Ochel Nefesh. So Tosfos assumes I could make the cheese on Yantav. That's the way Tosfos takes it. Then remember, we had a discussion whether...
Does it have to be La'alter?
I don't know. But he says that... there's a Ramban... who says that, like, he says like this. So he says, it's being done in preparation for Ochel Nefesh. Since cheese making involves, I mean, presumably you're making the cheese to eat it on Yantiv. When you say La'alter, I mean, you have to be preparing to eat it that day. So you're preparing to eat it that day. So he says, since cheese making involves Malacha Boneh, as our Gemara says, so again, any Malacha which is Ochel Nefesh, anything that I have a green light to do for Ochel Nefesh, I could do for other purposes, even not Ochel Nefesh. So making cheese, Tosfos assumes, is allowed to do on Yantav. That's the way Tosfos learns the sugya, that I can make the cheese on Yantav. I can curdle the cheese, which is malacha boneh. So Tosfos says, it follows, putting boneh on Yantav is permitted for other Yantav necessities as well. Consequently, Tosfos argues, if someone's house collapses on Yantav, he should be permitted to rebuild it if he needs it for Yantiv, such as to protect himself from the elements. So it's coming out. Doesn't this sound strange? So let's say your sukkah collapses on Yantiv. So Tosfos wants to say you'd be allowed to rebuild it on Yantiv because Bona is allowed for making cheese. So it's allowed for Ochel Nefesh, so it's allowed for other purposes as well. Since making cheese with Bona is permitted on Yantiv to sink Ochel Nefesh, permitted for other Yantiv needs. Tosfos answers that indeed there is no Isur Min HaTorah to rebuild his house on Yantiv. However, it is rabbinically prohibited because it involves excessive exertion, Uvda Dechol. So it was a nice idea, but it's Uvda Dechol. But it did the Rabbanan. Hold the thought. Now, the Be'er Yitzchak, and I think that's Yitzchak Chalchan Inspector, is the Be'er Yitzchak, I think. The Be'er Yitzchak considers the halakhic options of one whose sukkah collapses on Yantiv and lacks access to another sukkah. He argues that according to Tosfos, who says a building on Yantiv is only an Isur Min Rabbanan, this individual is permitted to ask a Gentile to rebuild his sukkah. Look how it's tricky. Like it's a whole shtickle Torah, but, you know, like it could be a Talmud Chacham would say something, be, oh, what he did, So the Be'er Yitzchak wants to say that if it fell down on Yantiv, you could have Amira La'akum. Right, and it's the same thing we said before with the cutting the nails. Shvut to shvut b'makom mitzvah. In other words, if rebuilding the sukkah is only an isur d'rabbanan, Amir la'akam is also d'rabbanan, and I need the sukkah for a mitzvah. So it's shvut to shvut, a double d'rabbanan b'makom mitzvah. So shvut to shvut b'makom mitzvah is allowed. So as a rule, may ask a Gentile on Shabbos and Yom to form an isur d'rabbanan is needed for mitzvah purposes. The fact that the sukkah is essential for the purpose of the mitzvah sukkah, coupled with the fact that building for into purpose is only Isur Min Rabbanan, sufficient grounds for asking a Gentile to rebuild one's collapsed sukkah. It's an interesting topic. Now, this Rabbi Simon Wolf today, I was listening, you know what, I drove up to YU today, so like I downloaded and I listened in the car, so it's like a little bit like my old lifestyle, you know, when I listen to the DAF when I'm driving. So he was saying that when they took dismantled Yamit, if you remember there was a community in the Sinai Desert prior to 1982. I think they were founded, I think, around 1979. And then because of the peace treaty with Egypt, they were forced to dismantle Yamit. So I didn't get, you know, again, I was driving and listening, the whole thing, but it was something like I think that they were resisting the dismantling, and apparently it was dismantled on Yantiv. It must have been like, I don't know, it was sukkahs or whatever. And there was one Rav that said that he wanted to permit them to, like, I don't know, like put their caravans, you know, in a location on Yantiv, because he figured that building, based on this Tosfos, building is on Yantiv is only an Isur D'Rabbanan. And he wanted to say that Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is a Mitzvah D'Oraisa. So I don't know if they're Telegoy or whatever, but, like, you know, again, the same idea, you know, maybe, I don't know if it was Shvut Shvut Makom Mitzvah, but like Mitzarev, different Kulas, with the fact that it would be a din d'rabbanan. All right. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything that we did? All right. So I think that's, so I don't remember if he said a goy was involved in his situation, but he was involved with this issue with d'rabbanan and the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Israel. Okay. So let me stop the tape now. Let me stop the tape.